Actually, 34 years went by very quickly. I'm a little bit cold. I just forget that weather can change like this in Alberta. And so I'm going to teach you a greeting, and that will warm us all up. You may not need that, but I do. Okay, this is a greeting that they would give in a church in the Congos. Betu te pesambote, we're giving you welcome. Kwabatata beto yai to the men and boys that are here. Kwabamama beto yai to the women and girls that are here. Munkumbo tata in the name of the Father. Munkumbo mwana in the name of the Son. Mumpevi and longo in the name of the Holy Spirit. Ibetu to manisa, and now we're finished. I'm really glad to be back. It's been about 3 or so years since I spoke here the last time. And I had just a really nice time coming up this morning, just singing to myself and going through rain and not rain and rain and not rain. And just a really nice drive. Today I want to talk about being all things to all people. And the scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 and 21 to 23. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19, 21 to 23. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those who, not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means, all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So what does it mean to be all things to all people? I have a pastor friend that used to tell me that when he moved from place to place, he embraced the sports teams of that place. Now, what would happen if he got called to Calgary? We're not going there. What does it mean to be all things to all people? What do we need to give up? I think mostly God is calling us to get out of our comfort zones so that we can be all things to all people around us to win those people to Christ, that Christ will be Lord and Savior of their lives. When I first went to Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of Congo, please know that there are two Congos. One is the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the other is the Republic of Congo. And they're both across the river, across the Congo River from each other, the closest two capitals in the world. I can look from my place in Brazzaville over the Congo River and see downtown Kinshasa. When I first went to Zaire, I was called to see the president of the church, really a godly man. I just love him so much. But I went into his office, and he sat me down, and he said, "Mama Ann, I want to ask you 3 questions. The first is, are you willing to love this country? Are you willing to love its people? And are you willing to love its language?" 20 years later, in the midst of the war, I left that country, grieving the country that I considered home, grieving the people that I considered my African family, and grieving the language that I thought I would never speak again. I thought I would never love another country, I'd never love another people group, and I'd never love another language. Then God opened another door that took me totally out of my comfort zone. He called me to be an assistant dorm parent in Ivory Coast in Bouaké to 19 kids from grade 2. Who's in grade 2 here? or going into grade two. I see that hand. No? You were in grade two, right? Okay. Well, what she was. And so grade two to grade eight. Canadians, Americans, kids from South Korea, and Africans. It was great. I have never worked so hard in my whole life. I give my hats off to mothers. It gave me a whole new appreciation for them. I was way out of my comfort zone. I was 50, menopausal. I thought, was I crazy or what? I love those kids. I really love those kids. And I could have stayed there forever, but I really missed working with nationals, and that's my passion. And then God led me, after my 2 years there, led me out of my comfort zone yet again by leading me to the Republic of Congo. I expected it to be the same as the Democratic Republic of Congo. They're just across the river. They have similar tribal groups, same languages or similar languages. I can, you know, when I first went out 34 years ago, they told me that I would never be able to learn more than one language. And I thought they were right. And I learned French in France. And I went to Belgium to take tropical medicine. It was taught in university-level French. By the grace of God, I made it through. And then I went to Zaire, where I learned Kikongo. Then I went to Kinshasa, the capital, and I learned Lingala. And now here I arrive in the Republic of Congo, and I can hear now five different languages. I can't speak them all. Because they're a mixture of the languages I'd already known. Now, isn't God good? But this country was so different than the other Congo. They were, like, up to the mid-80s, they had a Marxist government, communist government. There was so much, and there is so much, witchcraft and sorcery. The Alliance has been there since 1993 as residents. And so it's just most of our pastors are just first-generation Christians. And there's a lot of sorcery there. And what happens is that when a person dies, it's not because of cancer. It's not because of a virus or a bacteria. It's because somebody else has killed them through casting spells on them. So you can imagine people live in fear of their neighbors and even family members that might want to get rid of them. And so they don't trust. A whole huge stronghold there is a lack of trust. And there's so much false doctrine. There's a lot of independent kind of charismatic churches. But the pastors have had no theological training whatsoever. And so there's just tons of false doctrine. And it's one of the most corrupt countries in the world. Our claim to fame is we're in the top 10. It was uncomfortable to be in a third country. I thought that I would go to Zaire and I'd spend my whole career there. And that would be it. And I'd retire from there and come back to Canada. Well, I just never thought I'd be in three different countries. And they're so different. And I think I don't like change. You know, I have never liked change. I would have never gone overseas if it hadn't been for God. I'm a homebody, you know, go figure. So when I ended up in a third country, I'm finding that it's good to be out of your comfort zone. Because when you're out of your comfort zone, you're totally dependent on God. And that's a great thing to be. We sang this morning, just all we want is Him. We can't do anything on our own. Totally dependent on Him. And, you know, what can be better than that? Totally dependent on Him. Our Congo team desires to proclaim the kingdom of God through discipleship and leadership development, missions mobilization, and church planting. This year has brought a lot of uncomfortable situations. It appears that God is bringing a new mission field to Congo. And these things were just so out of the box, and the results were just so unexpected. We had become more and more aware of a Chinese population that had been growing in Congo. And these Chinese come from mainland China. They come to do construction. Right now they're doing a new airport in Brazzaville. They just finished a hospital in Pointe Noire. They're working on a dam project. They're working in construction all over the place. And all of a sudden you're seeing them all over. And so the problem is that they don't speak English, and their French is pretty fractured. And, you know, how are we going to communicate? We're seeing all these people, and I don't speak Mandarin. Please, Lord. I don't speak Mandarin. So we got in touch with Stanley Kwong, who is an Alliance pastor in Queens, New York. And they were willing to send a team to Congo to evangelize the Chinese that are there and to see what could be done to reach the Chinese in Congo. And what a joy it was to have them come. And they were raring to go. I want you to know that I just opened my kitchen to them. And I had Chinese food for breakfast, for lunch, and for supper. It was wonderful. I love Chinese food. And I'd be sitting there with a pencil and paper copying out all of the recipes. So if you ever come to Brazzaville, it won't be as good as theirs, but hey. My pastor from Brazzaville, Etienne Diata, knew one Chinese businessman who he knew to be a Christian. So he was our gatekeeper. So he took the Chinese team together with our office assistant, and off they went to meet this man. They got talking with him, and like only the Chinese can do, he took them all back to their house, and they ate like an 8-course meal that his wife had just fixed up like that. It was wonderful. I'm sorry I wasn't there. Anyway, this guy, after talking with these guys, phoned someone who phoned somebody else who phoned somebody else. And that evening, there were 17 Chinese Christians that met together worshiping God. It was great. And in the time that they were there, they led seven Chinese to the Lord. So Pastor Etienne said, we're going to open our church up Sunday evenings and let these people worship in our service. And that is going on right to today. This team also sent us some DVDs in Mandarin, preaching DVDs, so that they would have messages every week. So they've also, Pastor Kwong said that he was going to try and find a house church leader. Is that how you say it? A house church leader from mainland China to come and to shepherd these Chinese. Now, don't you think this is a God thing? We were blown out of the water. And who would have thought that we would be reaching Muslims in Central Africa? In Central Africa, as long as I've been there, there's been like 1% or less than 1% of Muslims. Muslims are mostly in West Africa or in North Africa. But we're seeing more and more shopkeepers coming from West Africa to set up their businesses in Brazzaville. And the last count was, we have at least 65 mosques in Brazzaville alone. And we're thinking, like, how are we going to reach the Muslims for Christ? Because we're not, I mean, we're used to reaching animists for Christ, and we're not trained to lead Muslims to Christ. I mean, we pray regularly for Ramadan, for their time of fasting, and it's usually August, September. We know that Jesus appears supernaturally to Muslims. Have you ever heard of that? Well, one of these young men, his name is Mohammed, and he is from Senegal, and he came to Brazzaville to work. And one night, Jesus appeared to him, and he said to him, I want you to straighten your life out. And that morning, God put a Christian in his path who led him to the Lord. And he was so excited about his faith, and he started looking for a church to go to. And it was really hard because, as I mentioned, there's a lot of these kind of charismatic kind of churches, but no, a lot of false doctrine. And so he just kept searching and kept searching and get out of one church and go to another and kept searching. And the Holy Spirit was just leading him on, searching for truth. And then he got involved with Freemasons. I don't know if you know anything about them, but they're almost in every country, and it's a lot of the leadership of the country that are involved. And basically, it's occult. The whole thing is occult. It's a lot of magic. It's a lot of secret meetings and secret society, and it's just awful. So there is a reason that we pray for our leaders. Anyway, he got involved with that and went through years of just being so bound in this occult. And then finally the Holy Spirit just kept leading him along, searching for truth, and he got into an evangelical church. And they started to ground him and disciple him. And that's where he heard about our evening Bible school. Now, I teach in an evening Bible school. I teach three courses a year, two in Brazzaville and one in Pointe Noire. And after people are finished their work, they get off at 2:30. We should do that, right? Get off at 2:30, and then our school is from 3:30 till 6:30, three times a week. And so Mohammed came, and what a joy to have him. I don't know if any of you are teachers. What, you know, just to have a student that just, you know, just like a sponge, everything, you know, just trying to put it into practice and trying to get his life right. And in fact, he just graduated in June, and I don't know what God has for him or where he has. We're hoping he'll stay in Brazzaville and help us reach Muslims for Christ. But our Senegal colleagues would like him to go back home and help them there. I don't know where God's going to use them, but I know he is and that he will. In September, another team moved out of their comfort zone. Two couples came from Tofield, Alberta. And in my 34 years of being a missionary, this was the first time that I had someone from my cluster come to visit me in Congo. And it was great. I was thrilled. And they joined with one of our Congolese churches to partner with them to evangelize the neighborhood around their property. So what happens is they send their testimonies. And so on the first, we create a brochure. And on the first, on the front of the brochure, we take their testimonies. We translate them into French. And the second page is diagnostic questions you can ask a person to see where they are spiritually. And then the third page is how to lead that person to Christ. And then the back page is the first follow-up lesson. So what happens? So we had four Canadians, and we would put one Canadian in a team of two to three Congolese. And one of those would speak English of a sort. And off we sent them into the neighborhood. So they would go off, and the group of four would stop at a courtyard, and there's about maybe three or four or five or six apartment kind of buildings in that courtyard. And they'd go there and they'd say, "Hey, this is my friend Calvin, and he's from Tofield." No, he's from Canada, because they wouldn't know where Tofield was. "He's from Canada, and we want to know if you want to hear his story." Well, Congolese are very, very hospitable people. They love to hear about what's happening in other countries. "Sure, bring him in." And so they sit down, and he shares his testimony, which is translated into French. And then they can ask any questions about that. And they did this, and there wasn't anybody that refused in any of the teams. They went from place to place to place. And in fact, some people said, they were talking with this one little group, and then there was a group over here that were missing out, and they said, "We want to know about Jesus." And they came and added themselves to the team. The next day, they would do the same thing, but they'd do follow-up on the people that they talked to from the day before. And so it went on. So in 5 days, these four Albertans led 59 people to the Lord. 59. In that local church, they added 23 people just like that. And they started three prayer cells. In fact, we were telling them, disciple the people where you found them. You know, don't get them into the church right away, because you lose more people by doing that. But these 23, they said, can't we come to your church? You know, do we have to stay in our prayer cell? We want to come to your church. And we were just praising the Lord. Now, this pastor on this side is Pastor Kalist, and they're good friends. They're really good friends of mine. And he said, "Now you tell Pastor Calvin when you get back to Canada that we're going to lead every member of the families of these 23 that have come. We're going to lead every member to the Lord." I'm going, yes. Each of these groups were willing to leave their comfort zones. The Chinese were willing to leave their comfort zone to come to Africa to win Chinese to the Lord. Mohammed was willing to be ostracized by the Muslim community. As soon as they found out he was a Christian, he was kicked out of his home. He was kicked out of his job. He had nothing. But the Lord continues to provide for him. He was willing to be ostracized by the Muslim community to become a Christian and to win others to Christ. And the Tofield team were willing to leave their comfort zone of Alberta to reach Congolese for Christ and to develop a close relationship with a Congolese church. I don't know what being all things to all people means to you. God wants us to leave our comfort zones so that he can work in and through us to win others to Christ. Do you know how important a lost person is to Jesus? In Luke 15, Jesus uses the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, just to show you how important someone who doesn't know him is to him. He dropped everything for that one lamb. He dropped everything for that precious coin. And he dropped everything for that prodigal son, that one lost son. Luke 15:7 says, "I tell you that in that same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." God wants us to love this country. He wants you to love this place that he's planted you. There's so many hurting people living around you that need Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. He wants you to love them so much that you're willing to find out what's important to them, spending time with them, finding out what their love language is. What about our neighbors? God loves each one of them. So, are you ready to leave your comfort zones? What is God asking you to do? He's asking you to reach out for those that don't know him. You know, Matthew 28:18-20 are not just that, those verses aren't just for missionaries or pastors. They're for all of us. They're for every Christian. And it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I have commanded you. And the best is yet to come. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. You know, people say, oh, I could never be a missionary. I could never be a missionary either. You know, it's God. I'm a very ordinary person. I have all my warts and everything. God can still use me. I'm convinced that God just needs warm bodies that are willing to do what he wants them to do. He wants to be Lord of our lives. I love that song. I wish we could sing it again. All for Jesus. You know, we'll give everything to him and just watch what he does through you. Needs a warm body. And there might be a few cold ones here today, but he wants to use each one of us. All authority is given to each one of us. And he's starting to bring the mission field to Canada. Oh, there are so many. I just moved from Daysland. Do you know where Daysland is? Yes. I see that, Sherry. From Daysland into Edmonton, and I'm now living in Millwoods. I go anywhere, it's a foreign language. It is great. I am surrounded by a mission field. And more we're seeing that, and even, I'm sure, in Cold Lake, God is bringing a mission field here. And he wants us to reach out. And the third thing is short-term missions. Now, just like the Tofield Alliance team did, totally dependent on the Lord to use them in a different culture, in a different climate, and with a different language. Totally dependent on him. And look what God did. I head up short-term missions in Congo. I'd love to see a team come from this church. It'll change your life. It's warmer. He wants us to get out of our comfort zones. And let me tell you, it's so worth it. Thank you.